Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss. On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson. I got that
sunshine. So one of the fun stories come out of the weekend was Cam Newton, as you may have heard.
Gotta love Cam's stories. He's always got some going on.
Well, he had a long flight ahead of him, and he had a really bad coach seat. 10 hours in a coach seat for Cam Newton, a big man? That doesn't count. He needs a better seat, don't you think?
Yeah, so where are you buying a coach ticket? You're Cam Newton.
Well, he thought he could buy the coach ticket and then just upgrade when he got onto the plane.
To the bulkhead row.
Yeah, he offered a man $1,500 to switch seats. That's a lot of money.
And I love the man's response.
He just said no.
He wasn't moving.
$1,500.
He was not budging.
So when I saw that story, my first reaction, of course, it always comes back to the gloss. What would the gloss do in such a situation?
WWGD?
What?
Oh, that's not good. Let's take that back.
What
Sorry.
Would the gloss do? Here's what I concluded. Now. Jose, you could have probably confirmed this point of view. To me, for the gloss, if she were offered by Cam Newton or any other athlete to switch seats for a lot of money, it would not be about the money. It would be about the team allegiance.
Totally.
See, if it were an Oakland Raider, it could even be Richie Incognito all of a sudden. An Oakland Raider, you got my seat.
Vontaze Burfict,
so if it was Pat Mahomes, no chance?
No chance.
No chance.
He's not my guy. He's AFC West.
The funniest thing is this scenario doesn't matter because the gloss always sits in first class.
Well, that may be.
So wouldn't even be able to get to her.
No, but the point is she's up there all the time.
Good,
so someone's going to offer her a bunch of money. They want her seat. She's got a valuable seat. But it's not about the money. It's she wants to help her teammates.
What Jose meant is that the gloss is first class, not necessarily.
Is that what he meant?
And I appreciate that, Jose. Thank you.
I guess that's what I meant.
I think that's what you meant. I think that's what you meant. I'm taking that.
Okay. Hey, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Brett Boone, the legendary MLB former player, three-time All-Star, outstanding. And we'll ask him about the big series over the weekend. It was the Yankees and the Astros. Verlander playing the stopper, ending the Astros' seven-game losing streak. It will be Brett Boone when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is former Major League ball player for the Seattle Mariners and other teams, Brett Boone. Brett, thanks so much for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
You got it, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. Let's start with the big series over the weekend, the Yankees and the Astros. Astros were able to salvage that last game with Verlander on the mound. What were your observations of the series?
Well, actually, I was there. We're out on a little family vacation here, and I took my youngest boys out to see their cousins. So we went and stayed at Uncle Aaron's house and watched a few of the Yankee games, and now we're down in Virginia. I think, the Astros are kind of beat up right now. I'm asked about this quite a bit, Astros, without a doubt, I think, are the class of baseball, with the Yankees being right there. As well, and you just got a Yankee team right now that's starting to get healthy. They've gone through a lot of stuff early in the season. A lot of their key guys have been missing, and you know, they've called on some unexpected guys that have risen and kept it going. So they're on a tear, and Houston just was in a little bit. I think they lost seven in a row before they won the other night. Verlander kind of righted the ship, but I think it should be interesting down the stretch. But those two, I think, in postseason, you're going to look to both of them.
So, Brett, you see the American League, it looks like it could be come down to a two-horse race with the talent level between the Yankees and the Astros. What about the Red Sox in this? Is this a World Series hangover going to lift? Or what's going on with them?
Well, I don't think you can ever count the Red Sox out.
Yeah.
You know, and the trade deadline's coming up, and you never know what they're going to do. You know that a year ago They were by far the class of baseball, and I think they proved that. It just goes to show you, baseball's baseball. It's tough. I mean, it's a hard thing, and especially when you're world champions, you come back, everybody's gunning for you. You know, I just saw with the off-season moves and everything I saw go on this past winter. You know, last year when the Yankees lost to the Red Sox in the playoffs, I don't think that's something you hang your head about. You just lost to, you know, a Red Sox team that won, I think, 109 games and went on to win the World Series. I think last year Boston was slightly better than the Yankees, and they ended up winning the World Series. I think it's kind of flip-flop this year, and I think the Yankees are slightly have an edge over the Red Sox. But I think you're going to see the Red Sox come out in the second half and make a run at it. Like I said, I'm really impressed with the Yankees this year and what they've been able to overcome with Hicks and Gregorius and Judge and Stanton missing a big bulk of time. Severino, their young horse, hasn't even thrown a pitch yet. And they're still comfortably in first place in that tough division. But, you know, it's a crazy game. I've been on a lot of great teams that at the end of the year you look up and go, how did we win it all? And, you know, so it's still baseball is the game it is for a reason. You never know, but I wouldn't count the Red Sox out. But I think the Astros and the Yankees are definitely the class of the American League this year.
We're talking to three-time All-Star Brett Boone. So the Yankees did add Encarnacion to that lineup. How potent do you think it'll be when they get all their horses back on the field?
You know, now I'm like everybody else. I read, you know, in social media and articles and you know, all these experts that really probably don't know what they're talking about. But why did we get Encarnacion was the main question. I thought it was a brilliant move. I thought getting another bona fide big bat in the middle of an already potent lineup is going to make them nothing but better. You know, I think they're planning on Severino coming back in the near future and hopefully being a big part of their stretch run. But the Yankees are the Yankees, and you know they've got another move up their sleeve coming with this trade deadline. And the good thing for them is they've got a lot of extra pieces that they have for, you know, some way of a trade or whatever. They got a lot of guys on that Yankee roster. The way they performed this year have a lot of value for them. So I think you're going to see the Yankees make another move, and they're going to be tough to beat.
So with Encarnacion coming from one of your former teams, the Seattle Mariners, to whom you gave some of your very best years, as a former Mariner, how difficult is it to see the team that you're playing on going into this rebuild, and what kind of mindset is that like in the locker room? Is it difficult to go out and play every single day knowing what's going on there?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of frustrating for me because, you know, I was fortunate enough to play for a long time and played for a bunch of different organizations. But Seattle's always kind of my home, mm-hmm. and that's kind of where my best years were. And I think most people, when they reflect back on my career, you know, they remember me a lot as a Mariner. So, I have one eye open every year, and I'm interested, and I'm checking the box scores, and, you know, I'm keeping an eye on them. And it's been 18 years since they've been in the playoffs. And I wouldn't say it's a frustrating thing for me because it's none of my business. I'm not a player anymore. I'm not a part of the organization. But a part of me would love, you know, I know how great that city was to me. And when you win in that city, how those fans come out and respond. And there's nothing like I ever saw in the early 2000s there. You know, I went to a Seahawks game a couple years ago, and I was with a couple buddies of mine. They weren't players. And they were in awe of the crowd and the atmosphere in Seattle. And I don't know what's going on here. Okay. And I said, this is the atmosphere we had every night at Safeco Field all through the early 2000s. And the fact that it's not there anymore, you know, that'll happen when you don't win for that many years. The fans aren't going to be there. But I know if they could put a winning team on that field, how that city would just rally around them and be the place to be. So, yeah, I'm a little frustrated on one hand. On the other hand, I got kids to raise and kids' games to watch. So it's kind of not my top priority.
We're talking to former major leaguer Brett Boone. Okay, we're coming up on the trading deadline. Marcus Stroman, Madison Baumgarten, even Max Scherzer, all rumored to potentially be on the block. And nearly every contender, except for maybe the Dodgers, would love to add another top-line starter. Is there a guy you'd love to see land on one of the elite teams? Is there somebody special that you think is the best target?
Well, I think anytime you mention a guy like Max Scherzer, who is arguably the best pitcher in the game right now, I just look at that division, and you got Washington and Philly, and that's a pretty stacked division where I don't think that division has been decided yet. So I don't necessarily think if Washington starts winning games and is right back in this hunt, I don't think Max Scherzer is going to be available for anybody to go get. Of course, he wouldn't like Atlanta Max Scherzer. He automatically makes, gives you a bona fide number one game seven of the World Series guy you wish you could have on the mound. Of course, everybody would want him. I don't know that he's going to be available. Would you look to somebody like a Bumgarner? I don't think he would have the impact of a Scherzer at this stage of his career, but his past and his track record in the postseason is one of a kind. I think if you look at his postseason numbers, he'll rank up there with the greatest of all time. That being said, it's a different time now. It's not 5 years ago. But I think anybody that gets to add somebody like a Baumgartner on their team is going to make them better right away. Stroman, I haven't gotten to see him pitch that often. I don't know how interested the Mets are in dealing with one of their young phenom pitchers. But rest assured, those big teams we talked about earlier, I don't think Houston needs to go out and get a pitcher. But I think, you look at the powerhouses, the Yankees, the Red Sox of the world, they're going to go out and make a quality sign, whoever that may be. And it's going to come down to what team deem their team kind of out of it for this year and are willing to trade. And by the way, I don't think, they haven't got the headlines because they haven't been in the, at the top of the game for a while. But Minnesota is quietly a really good team over there, so they could be a sleeper.
So with Minnesota, Brett, what do you think that Rocco Baldelli's done well with the team, in your opinion, that maybe, Molitor and Gardenhire weren't able to do? Because you're right, they are sleepers, and they were a threat last year in the postseason and expect to see them.
Well, I think the game has changed quite a bit. The managerial position's changed quite a bit. I got a chance in my career to play for a lot of great managers, Fornella and Bochy and David Johnson and Bobby Cox. That's kind of the old guard and the old way. I think, having a brother now who I'm very proud of what he's done. He came in his first year, he won 100 games with the Yankees. This year he's doing a great job with a beat-up team. But the thing about managing is, I was talking to Aaron about it. I said, I've never gone home after one game in the big leagues and said, the manager really screwed that game up for us today. And I've never gone home after a game and said, hey, that manager, he really made that great move that made us win. So at the end of the day, as a manager, you put your players in the best scenarios you think to have them succeed. You got to manage a lot of egos down in that locker room. You got to know some guys you got to kick in the butt and some guys you got to give a hug to get the same result. You got to deal with your general manager and you got to deal with the press. And I think those are all easy things. But I think what it comes down to and the role that managers play at the major league level, if you've got the guys and you've got the talent, you're going to go out there and win. But it's the ones that are great get the best out of their talent. And I think it's the guys that relate on a personal level with their players. But I always thought as a player, the managers I really liked, I had a great relationship with them. But at the same time, I wasn't going out to dinner with them. They always kept the players at an arm's distance. So we can come in and talk, but we're not going to dinner tonight together. That's more things you hang out with the coaching staff. So I think Aaron's doing a really good job. I think Rocco, I don't really know Rocco on a personal level. I played against him for several years, but obviously he's come in there and created an atmosphere that the players really like. And I found that too. You get the players. All the players aren't going to love you. It's impossible. If every player on that roster loves you, you're doing something wrong. But creating an atmosphere where the guys want to come to the ballpark and want to play, and a manager can set that tone a lot, and obviously Rocky's doing that.
He is Brett Boone. Brett, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
You got it, guys. My pleasure.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, I still want you to prepare your vehicle for your 4th of July road trip. And you can do that by visiting your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Because simple preventive maintenance like changing your oil and filter or topping off engine coolant and checking belts and hoses, they can avoid costly repairs in the future and keep you on the road. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts have the parts you need at guaranteed low prices. Get your vehicle ready for the 4th of July travel today. Go to O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, congrats to Pascal Siakam. He has just won the Most Improved Player Award at the NBA Awards Ceremony, which has just begun. Pascal Siakam, Most Improved Player.
And he is not afraid of the stage. He is still there.
He is still talking.
He won the award 2 commercial breaks ago, but there he is.
Got a lot of people to thank.
No, great moment for him.
All right, we need to shift gears. We've not talked NFL all night, but Le'Veon Bell has found his way to the top of the headlines in the NFL. A bizarre story.
A lot of things, apparently.
Apparently so. Le'Veon Bell got himself in a little trouble.
I knew I'd get one of those tonight. Yes.
She got
Thank
one.
Thank you, Jose.
So you shouldn't be proud of that one.
No.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Le'Veon Bell had a tough night. And when he went home, he had 2 women with him. He got up early. He went off for his workout. And apparently, these 2 women robbed him blind, took a lot of things out of his home. And Le'Veon did the only thing he could do. He called 911 to make his case that he had been robbed. Let's listen to the conversation he had with the 911 operator about these 2 women robbing him blind.
What is the total estimated value of the items?
Oh, like $1 million.
What was she wearing today?
When I left, she was in the bed. She was in the bed not wearing clothes when she left. So I didn't see her when she, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. And the other one? And what was she last seen wearing today?
The same way. She was in the bed, too. Like, they didn't have clothes on.
Now, this is a moment where you have to check his IQ a little bit, because 911 calls go public. And what he's just said is, yeah, in the morning I woke up, I had 2 women in the bed, no clothes on, and I left them alone in the house, and they've robbed me for $1 million worth of merchandise.
What I think is funny.
Yes.
Is as he was speaking to the 911 operator, he's thinking, ruh-roh.
Yeah.
Oops. He sounds embarrassed.
Yeah. He sounds embarrassed. It took him a while to, they're still in the bed, like she wasn't going to ask. And what were they last wearing? They didn't have any clothes on. Or
Ouch.
She didn't. And then he had to repeat it for girlfriend, quote, unquote, number 2.
Well, I mean, Jose, you're out there in the dating scene. Is it normal to have 2 girls come home at the same night?
For some people, that might be normal. Not for me, no.
I'm just checking.
Jose, this is why I just love you. Good answer. Excellent answer. And upstanding citizen, Jose.
All right.
Sure.
Well, that'll be now Adam Gase's problem for the New York Jets. I mean, he has moved on from the Steelers. And I think that's going to be a tough one to unpack. I mean, he's lost a lot of merchandise. I guess he can afford it.
$1 million worth, he says.
Amazing.
And I think he was so concerned about the merchandise. And you know what? He even said at one part in the call that we didn't get to hear. They won't call me back.
They won't answer.
Can you imagine?
No, I think they're on their way to Mexico.
Yeah, because they're...
I mean, they're done.
Maybe Europe. They just sold one of your, jewels. So there we go.
There it is. All right. The Packers are also in the news. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, a young guy, a new coach. His first time head time opportunity. Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator at the Titans last year. And the year before, he was offensive coordinator for the Rams under Sean McVay. So he got this big opportunity to go to the Packers, become the head coach, replace Mike McCarthy, and get to coach a Hall of Fame quarterback, a future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. But they're off to a rocky start because Rodgers is used
to... Over the whole audible thing.
Yes, the whole audible thing. I mean, Rodgers is used to calling every play he wants at the line of scrimmage. And the philosophy...
He reads defenses, he knows what he's doing.
Sure, he's a veteran guy, and who better to trust than Aaron Rodgers? But Matt LaFleur has said, the way that I learned to do this and the way Kyle Shanahan and I always constructed offenses is I only give the quarterback a choice of two plays. He had one play that was called, a run play, and then he could switch to the pass or vice versa. But it greatly limits the options available to Aaron Rodgers at the line of scrimmage, and he's not happy about it.
No, he's not happy about it. And the unfortunate thing is, because I can see both sides, is that we're talking about it. This should never be out in the media. You know, you look at, we're broadcasting here in Houston. A.J. Hinch came as a brand new manager to the Houston Astros. I can also apply this to Steve Kerr out in Oakland when he became the head coach at Golden State after Mark Jackson. Both these guys, A.J. Hinch, Steve Kerr, in the offseason, as soon as they were hired, went to the homes of each of these players and talked to them about, what are your thoughts? Here's my philosophy. Are you willing to do this in my system? Well, I want to hear what you've got. Both of them did that. And look what happened. We got a World Series champ and a three-time NBA champion out of that. I don't know what went wrong here, but there's some kind of communication breakdown, or there is no communication. A first-year head coach coming into an 11-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion, you got to defer a little bit to him, or at least listen to him and tell him, this is how I'm used to running things. How do you, what are you used to? How can we make this work? This shouldn't be anything that we're talking about in the media.
I mean, LaFleur is only 4 years older than Aaron Rodgers.
Oui.
And actually has probably a lighter resume when you think about his whole NFL experience and tenure.
Yeah. No, it's tricky. It's tricky. And Green Bay is built around Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
In every way, shape, and form. And Aaron Rodgers is used to playing for one coach, Mike McCarthy, in his entire NFL career.
Right.
He hasn't had to adjust to other coaches.
Well, if I were the general manager and I were weighing in on this, I would sit down on the floor and say, look, you got to give Rodgers the freedom that he has earned and the trust that we have figured out he is worthy of having. I will say, just to play devil's advocate for LaFleur, I can remember there were years when Tony Romo was the quarterback of the Cowboys, and Romo loved to audible all over the place and come up with wild plays. And coach, well, it was Linehan was the offensive coordinator at that time. If the Cowboys, for instance, got first and five at the five, and the fans wanted the Cowboys to run the ball, Linehan would call a running play, and Romo would audible out of it, throw an incomplete pass. And that might happen three times in a row. Run called, Romo incomplete pass. Cowboys fail in the red zone. After the game, the press would come to Linehan and say, what were you thinking? Why didn't you run the ball?
Someone's
Cowboys
have
the best offensive line, and you didn't run it. Well, Linehan doesn't want to throw Romo under the bus, but the rub is, if you're the offensive coordinator, you have a plan, you have a scheme, you have an approach, you have a rhythm of play calling that you want to execute. And if it can just be tossed out of the line of scrimmage, well, that really creates some challenges for your play calling. So that's the one point to which I'm sympathetic. All that said, the answer is not to define a hard rule. Well, there are only going to be two plays at the line of scrimmage or wide open plays at the line of scrimmage. It shouldn't be based on rules. It should be based on a relationship. In the ideal, the coach and the quarterback get in such a sync that they naturally go to the same plays in the right situations, and they're not wrestling over this. They're aligned. The easy one to highlight, Belichick and Brady, they've been together for so long, I'm sure there's been a mind meld. I'm sure there are many times where Brady is audibling exactly what Belichick would have him do because they've almost rehearsed every possible scenario before he even steps on the field. So that's the mind meld. That's the relationship they need to cultivate. But debating the rules in advance will not advance the relationship.
No, and the tricky thing, you look at the situation that you just brought up, Brady and Belichick, and you can also look at Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And what you've got there is in both those situations, you have coaches that have more experience, and when Brady started, than the players. Not so here. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who's got 11 years in the NFL versus a first-year coach. So it's actually coming from the opposite way.
Well, it's the problem you get when you hire all these young coaches.
That's right.
They have.
That's right. To find the next Sean McVay, which they're all trying to do.
I will be back with the He Said, She Said segment on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, we get to begin our He Said, She Said segment, where we take a look at what sports luminaries have said around the globe, and we offer our own analysis of such. Let's start with the NBA draft last week. Now,
a lot of chatter this week is good.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jose, you will attest to this. Carla's always been, well, she's got a soft spot in her heart for big men who break down into tears. Is that right?
I guess so. Yeah, that is
remember
right.
Remember Joel Embiid?
I like seeing right.
Joel outside. Embiid when the Sixers lost to Kawhi's shot.
That's observant of yes. you. I never noticed that.
Real men shed tears.
All right. Well, like Zion Williamson went number one to the Pelicans, and he was super emotional and thanked his mom for her sacrifices. Here's Zion.
Well, Zion, certainly the moment we all anticipated, but you've been waiting for this moment since you were five. How would you describe being the number one overall pick in this draft?
I mean, I don't know what to say. I didn't think I'd be in this position. My mom sacrificed a lot for me. I wouldn't be here without my mom. She did everything for me. I just want to thank her.
Well, when you're the number one draft pick and you are talked about when you're in high school as the next LeBron, even maybe better than the next LeBron, for him to be humbled by actually that dream coming to reality, and to give credit to his mom, who she did sacrifice a lot. She coached him even for a while when he was young, you know, in basketball. She was coach of his team. That is very cool. I love, if this is going to be eventually the face of the NBA, humility is so good looking.
Yeah, by all accounts, he's a class act. That's certainly the reports coming out of Duke.
Yep.
Now, after the draft, the Pelicans general manager David Griffin, who picked Zion, told the media that this is actually Drew Holiday's team and not necessarily Zion's right off the start.
This is Drew Holiday's team. And when we made the team, the trade that we made, or are working to complete, rather, with a certain player who used to be here with Drew, we were very cognizant of the fact that this is Drew Holiday's team. And from the moment I got here on the ground, the very first conversation I had with him, I challenged him, and he has responded to it every step along the way. Zion is going to be part of learning how to win at a really high level. And at some point, if there's a time that the baton gets passed in terms of who's expected to carry us to win games, it will. That's not now.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Hail to Alvin Gentry.
Yep.
He's right. You've got to have chemistry. It, you know, talent isn't enough. Bodies are not enough. You have to have chemistry, and there is a line. There is a pecking order. And Drew Holiday has earned the right, now that AD has departed, to be leading this team and to be the veteran and to be the voice. And Zion hasn't taken, he hasn't dribbled once inside Smoothie King Arena. He's going to be fantastic. But yes, Alvin Gentry, good for you. Don't lose the guys who have been playing hard under you.
Well, and I think if he just takes a sliver of the spotlight off of Zion and casts it over to Drew Holiday, that's good for Zion's development.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the third one. This is an emotional R.J. Barrett. He went number three overall to the Knicks, and he talked about the reception he got from the Knicks fans when it was announced that they were picking R.J. Barrett.
That was great. I mean, how would you feel if people were, you know, screaming your name? You'd feel great. I really feel like I'm doing something good. All my hard work's paying off. So I know that, you know, like Kareem said, you have nothing to prove, but you have everything to prove. This is a new start, so I'm ready to go.
Wow. This is a class of class acts.
Yeah, Zion, RJ, two guys coming out of Duke. They are class acts.
Five-star recruits, got it all, and still very humbled.
Funny to think about the way New York fans have received R.J. Barrett and yet been so, well, negative and filled with vitriol for the Giants' number one overall pick, number six overall, Daniel Jones, the quarterback. I mean, that's a big distinction. Between number six and number three overall, R.J. Barrett way up in the sky and Jones way, way down in the cellar.
Well, you know, R.J. Barrett, they've been talking about him since he was in high school, and he was, you know, one of the top recruits in the nation.
Yep.
And Daniel Jones, I mean, I did not have any idea who that was until started preparing for the draft. I mean, sort of knew him,
sure.
But Duke quarterbacks aren't necessarily at the top of everyone's radar. Yeah. A little bit of a difference in the sports at Duke, that's for sure.
All right, Albert Pujols finally had a homecoming in St. Louis. He came back to St. Louis with his new team, the Angels. And after the series, he talked with ESPN and explained how it was a great moment to come back to St. Louis.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, I don't have any words to describe. I mean, it's just amazing, you know. Once again, you know, not just the experience and the memories that I have in the stadium, but with these fans. But, you know, this weekend they show it back again. And then, you know, I was telling these guys, I'm like, you guys are going to see amazing fans, you know, when we go to St. Louis. So my teammates enjoy it, you know. I enjoyed it. This is probably one of the best moments of my career. I'm going to put it out there with a two World Series champion, you know, and the success that I have here.
Now, he gave so much to that community in his time in St. Louis. You know, he's got a Down syndrome child, he and his wife, and they do so much in the community for those causes. And he's just beloved. He's earned it. And he's just, wow, what a star. Even, on, you know, in the sunset of his career, the reception he receives is what he deserves.
Agreed. All right. Yet again, a baseball fan was struck by a foul ball.
Oh, my gosh. When is it enough?
And this time it was off the bat of Cody Bellinger. After the Dodgers' win yesterday, Bellinger spoke of the need for MLB to expand the netting. Here's Bellinger.
Do you feel like baseball should consider extending the netting?
I would assume that that would be a smart decision. I don't, you know, just to protect those people in the front row who don't have enough reaction time. I mean, I'm over at first base, and I got to be ready, you know, and they're 10 feet over from me. So, yeah, maybe just to protect people in the first row, I don't know. But, yeah, that's a scary situation.
I mean, let's roll back, you know, a couple months. You know, not even a year ago, an 87-year-old woman at Dodger Stadium was hit by a ball and died. We still don't really know what happened to the toddler that was hit in the Chicago series in Houston at Minute Maid Park because the families asked for privacy. Enough is enough. I don't understand this. I just don't understand.
Well, err on the side of caution. I mean, what's the cost to put up a little extended net? I mean, you've got to put it up, right?
I mean, one death is one death too many. Oh, yeah, yeah, don't get me started.
All right, the Astros were in a bit of a slump this weekend. They had lost, well, seven straight. Their hot new star, Yordan Alvarez, seemed to be an exception, though, and he hit three home runs in the series against the Yankees. Let's hear about Yordan Alvarez.
Swing right here.
Yeah. Unleash.
Oh, he does. This ball's a rocket to right field. First road home run of his career is a missile to right. It got out in a hurry. Yordan's fifth home run.
Pitch number seven. High fly ball driven deep out to right field. Judge leaps. Gone. Astros on top. The rookie strikes again. His second of the series, his sixth of the season, and he puts Houston in front.
Yordan Alvarez deep to right field and gone. He's done it again. El Hombre Nino, the man child, with his seventh home run in 12 big league games.
All right, that audio is courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet. And Yordan Alvarez is off to one of the most, well, it's an historic start for a guy coming up as a rookie as he has. He's been outstanding. Seven home runs already.
Well, he's the first player ever in Major League Baseball history in his first 12 games to have seven home runs and 16 RBIs. And, you know, if you're a Houston fan, which we are, let's be real, you know, their IL is star-studded right now with George Springer, Carlos Correa, Colin McHugh. Altuve just came off.
Yep.
Aldamas Diaz. I mean, it's they have their rosters on there. The silver lining to that, Yordan Alvarez gets called up. I don't know that he would have been called up at this point. So when hopefully the All-Stars get these guys back, it's going to be after the All-Star break for Correa and McHugh and Diaz for sure. What a gem that he's gotten to come up, and he's so fun to watch. And is not afraid of the bright lights. This is Yankee Stadium, and he blasted that one over Aaron Judge. It was a beauty.
Well, and I don't think this is just a small sample size. No. I mean, he was outstanding down in the minor leagues. His power is legit.
Four home runs in his first five games when called up. This is insane.
Amazing.
This is so fun.
That is a sample size that will not extend or extrapolate over to a whole season. Yes. But he is impressive. Aaron Boone, the brother of Brett Boone, whom we heard from earlier on in the show. Well, he was talking after the series with the Astros. He explained how well the two teams match up, and he alluded to the Yankees seeing the Astros again down the road.
They're obviously a great team. We may again cross paths, you know, playing for a lot more. So, anytime you're up against a team like that, you got your work cut out for you. But we certainly feel like, we always feel like we match up well with other clubs. And, you know, if we're playing our best, I always love our chances. But you know, you got to bring it against these guys.
Well, they're deeper than deep. I mean, they also have a star-studded IL.
Well, they do, and a lot of those guys are coming back. Both the Astros and the Yankees are going to get healthy pretty quickly now, and they're already the class of the AL, and they've got a lot of good guys coming back. I mean, Severino will be...
He hasn't even pitched yet.
...an amazing addition to that Yankees rotation. He's like that mid-season acquisition.
Right.
The trading deadline pickup, but he's just coming off the IL.
And, of course, they needed to add Edwin Encarnacion because, 1-9 wasn't enough without him.
Yeah, just to enhance that lineup.
I don't like this green with envy situation I got going on over here.
Well, Correa is probably the last of the Astros to come back, but all the other guys are going to be back pretty quickly now.
Yes.
All right, one more. Last week, Baker Mayfield, the outspoken one, he joined Sports Talk 1400 KREF to talk about the OU versus Texas rivalry. And Baker was very vocal about the current quarterback for the Longhorns, Sam Ellinger. He had this to say about Longhorn quarterback Sam Ellinger.
All the preseason publications I read, hearing people talk, they say, Texas is finally back. They're finally back. They're going to contend for a national championship this year.
They said that when they beat Notre Dame a couple years ago, and they won three games after that.
But,
I'm sick of that
crap. Sam Ellinger stood at the floor of the Sugar Bowl last year and proclaimed that the University of Texas is back. So I'll just ask you, is Texas finally back?
He couldn't beat Lake Travis, so I don't really care. his opinion on anything winning. Westlake's a great program, but the two best quarterbacks come out of there are Drew Brees and Nick Foles. Sam can stay down there in Texas.
I like it. Good stuff.
That'll stir the pot. He doesn't like me, and I hope he knows I don't like him either.
Good stuff. I love it. Always something good to say.
Now, do you love it, Carla?
Welcome to middle school, Baker. Let's move on out. Hey, listen, he's in the NFL. He's holding his own weight. He can talk trash on the field. You know, the NFL is going to humble you one way or the other. And so far, Baker's been well in that way. Off field, keep the comments to yourself, buddy, especially when you're doing it about a college quarterback who you didn't really play against. That's one thing. And there's the OU-Texas rivalry. But Baker then makes sure that we know he's immature, and he takes it back down to high school, where he talks about Westlake High School in Austin, where Sam Ellinger went to school. And Baker Mayfield went to Lake Travis. So he had to go on national radio after, you know, he's in the NFL and the Heisman Trophy winner, and had to go down the road of, your Westlake never beat my Lake Travis. You're a loser. Hello. Grow up. This is just the kind of thing that is unnecessary that Baker doesn't need to do. He said the only good coming out of Westlake High School was Drew Brees and Nick Foles. So he's dishing it out to a practically high school kid, now college kid.
Yeah, someday he may just let his play do his talking.
It would be nice.
Intriguing. All right, when we come back, we're going to look at what we've learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours. We'll be right back on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
This hour of SB Nation Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, we've just got a few minutes here to look back at what we learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours. This is what I learned from you, Carla.
That always makes me a little trepidation here.
Okay. Major League Baseball needs to extend the protective nets to protect spectators at their games.
Yes, starting yesterday.
Zion and R.J. Barrett are class acts and will be good front figures for the NBA.
Absolutely. I love what they represent.
The Houston Rockets are in a tough spot. They've spent a lot of money. They don't have a lot of room to buy anybody new. They've got to figure out something quickly.
And there's a telenovela with the coaches and with their two stars. Their two expensive stars.
Baker Mayfield sometimes needs to just talk a little bit less and play a little bit more.
He's so talented. He doesn't need to mouth off.
Pelicans general manager David Griffin is wise to shift the focus, the leadership position of his team, to Drew Holiday.
Brilliant. Keep that locker room in check. Have a veteran leading the pack.
And Yordan Alvarez of the Astros?
You
think he's the real thing?
He's the real deal.
Well, and Carla,
we've just seen the tip of the iceberg.
You're the real deal. Jose, you're the real deal behind the board. Thanks so much. Alex Gold of the Gold Standard will be up next. Be sure to listen to Alex Gold next on XB Nation Radio.